10, I'll begin reading verse 7 to the end of the chapter in a moment. 2 Corinthians 10 is printed for you. If you're online and here, it's printed for you, but you can have it access that as well. We've said this over and over again, but this is Paul's most personal letter. It's the one where he really gets, he lays his heart out there. He lets us know how he's suffering. He lets us know what his comfort is. And he's got troubles in the midst as well. So tears and fear. He also lets us know what his convictions are. And by extension, since he wrote this to the church, and to the church, what our convictions should be. What's happened thus far is just a brief kind of review of some folks who come into church from trouble and have questioned Paul's authority. I don't know if you say they've kind of canceled, but that's the kind of review these days. He wasn't the guy for Corinth, but if he doesn't stay back, he doesn't stay canceled. Put it this way, one writer put it this way, if you are a Paul fan, if you love the Apostle Paul and what he's up to, this person this morning makes you want to get up and chew it. If anybody does, then you're welcome. This way. Father, the Spirit who moved in the Apostle Paul to bring this word to give us all, we still ask you, Holy Spirit, Spirit of Christ, Spirit of God, would you come now and give us the word now that we see even been prayed already. That no man can do. Would you make us trust you? We pray that you can. 2 Corinthians, chapter 10, beginning in verse 7. This is God's word. He breathes it, has no errors in it, and it is not even able to fail. So hear God's word. Look at what is before your eyes. If anyone is confident that he is Christ, let him remind himself that just as he is Christ, so also are we. But even if I boast a little too much of our authority, which the Lord gave for building you up and not for destroying you, I will not be ashamed. I do not want to appear to be frightening you with my letters, for they say his letters are weighty and strong, but his bodily presence is weak, and his speech is of no account. Let such a person understand that we say what we say by letter when absent, we do in presence. Not that we go to classify or compare ourselves with some of those who are commending themselves, but when they measure themselves by one another and compare themselves with one another, they are without understanding. But we will not boast beyond limits, but will boast only with regard to the area of influence God assigned to us, to us even to you. For we are not overextending ourselves as though we did not reach you. For we were the first to come all the way to you with the gospel of Christ. We do not boast beyond limits in the labors of others, but our hope is that as your faith increases, our area of influence among you may be greatly enlarged, so that we may preach the gospel in lands beyond you without boasting of work already done in another's area of influence. That's one who boasts in the Lord. For it is not the one who commends himself who is approved, but the one whom the Lord commends. That's God's word. I didn't hear about him, but he does bless the team. So similar this morning. Good boast, bad boast, and ultimate boast. Okay? There are legitimate boast, good boast, there are illegitimate boast, bad boast, and there is the ultimate boast. So Paul says to the Corinthians, and he's kind of back and forth about some of the conflicts and what's going on there. He says, if you're still wondering who to trust, if you're still kind of wondering what you should believe, he says, it's right under your nose. It's right before you. Listen. These people are apostles. He uses that term later on in the letter. He said, if they say that I'm not of Christ, and by the way, when they say that, I don't think the people, I don't think these others were trying to imply that Paul was a Christian. Some believe they were questioning integrity, they were questions about that. So I think the real issue when they say Christ or of Christ, they're saying that who God needs for you to listen to, who's got the real right stuff, all that, you really need to, hear us. He's not really the guy. He writes these great letters, but when he shows up, he's kind of mean now. So, pay attention to us. And what Paul is saying here, he says, listen, they're trying to prove too much. What I mean is, he says, if I'm not of Christ, what does that say about you? Later on, a little bit further down the letter, he says, look, I'm the one who got here first. You got the gospel from me. Earlier in the letter, you may remember, he said, by the way, if anybody wants a letter of recommendation, it's you're my letter of recommendation. So what he's answering to these outsiders who are kind of undermining, not just Paul, the big issue isn't just a personal issue. Paul got sent by God with God's gospel. And if Paul doesn't have authority, then it undermines the gospel. And so Paul says, if they think too much, if I'm not of Christ, then I guess it means you're not of Christ, but that's where you got your gospel. I can't help but recognize, there's irony in that. If Paul's not a Christ, and they're not a Christ. But Paul takes the irony. There's sarcasm in his letter. I think it's a holy sarcasm, if you will, where he kind of says, I'm not, far be it for me to boast. They're going to boast. I'll boast. They make me boast. I guess I'll boast. So the issue is authority. And Paul says, listen, our authority, verse 8, if you want to look at it. He said, the Lord gave this for building you up, not destroying you, but I'm not going to be ashamed. Paul knew he had authority. He got his directive from God. It's interesting that right here he doesn't even abuse that. Christ met him, but the real risen Christ met Paul. That wasn't just a kind of a vision, it wasn't a dream. In this case, he met the risen Christ, and the risen Christ not only said, Paul, you're mine, but he sent them to him, to the king, that is to say, he declared Paul the apostle, the messenger, his messenger, his first Christ, personal messenger to the Gentiles. So, he had it from Jesus and not. So he didn't have any questions about that. But rather than even telling of that experience, what he says is, listen, you've got to the gospel. Don't give it up. Don't give it up to those who question the authority that God has given me to give you. Just to ask what we need to understand is, wherever you are, there is you don't go into any system, if you will, any place, any relationship. But somebody is exercising power. That's not an issue. The question is the power legitimate? That is to say, is there legitimate authority behind the power? There are people who have strong, overwhelming, people who have to care. They are irrefutable. They get things done. They are people with what they call a resource. They are people with you can get a lot done with money. And there are people who have relationships, all kinds of networks, all sorts of all kind of reasons that somebody might follow somebody. The question is, do they have the authority that God has given? Is it authorized by God in His Word? Because we don't have any authority. But we do have gifts to the church. Look at verse 8. Paul says the Lord gave authority to Jesus, to us. Over in the Ephesians, when Paul is talking about the gifts given to the church, the gospel gifts, the way the gospel gets to the church. If you want to flip there, you can kind of have Ephesians chapter 4. That word pastor should be the shepherd, the great pastor and teacher. To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for there it is, look at it, for building up the body. It's the same word he uses over here. What Paul is saying in the Ephesian letter is what he's saying here in the Corinthian letter, that God does this by giving his authority. We don't have apostles, we don't have prophets, but what we do have is the apostolic word. We have that as the word that he gave through the apostles. And we have the Spirit who works through the God-ordained means that he gave. This is the He gave the authority to declare the riches of the slave and to assess the keys of the kingdom and to assess that to the church, and he tells us how that is supposed to work, that the Spirit poured out on his church to provide the authority that he gives. And Paul says, I'm not gonna back off of that. We're gonna use the authority you're given. That's a good boast. But there's a bad boast, and we look on down, verse 12. Paul says that not that we dare to classify or compare ourselves with some of those who are commending themselves. But when they measure themselves by one another and compare themselves with one another, they would not understand it. So, well, look, two kinds of bad faith. Okay, one of them, don't compare yourself to others. The Greek, in the rhetoric and the practice in the Greek Roman, Greco-Roman world, it was the common practice to kind of make your case by comparison. Not this, not them, but not this, but that. And we still do that. One way of winning an argument is to compare yourself to somebody else and to weaken their argument by boasting you. But Paul says the problem here is if you make up your own standard, there's really no standard at all. So you kind of get this, you have to place yourself again in church. Who won? I will tell you, I was an outstanding basketball player alone in my basketball. I won every game, and you know, I'd take that last minute, last second buzzer beater. And if it clanged, I got back. First go to the line. And if I missed the free throw, somebody stepped into the lane. And he got another shot. I mean, over and over again. My next door neighbor said they missed me when I moved to that clanging sound. They said I missed the clanging sound. I've told you this before, but when I was in junior, I used to call middle school junior high. I was in junior high. And in the ninth grade, my science teacher was also a track coach. And he said if I wanted the grade I'd earned in science, that I needed to run on track team. That was his mistake. So we went to the meet, and I was on what was then called the 440 relay team. I think they did a movie for it. And we came in fourth. In case you didn't know what yellow meant, we came in fourth in the 440 relay. There were only five teams. And the fifth team, the team that came in fifth and got no ribbon, were just a bunch of guys that got together the last minute. And I think they dropped the baton when it came in time. Just so you know, they let me run first to get me over with. And I staked this to about a 25-meter, a 25-yard deficit because we didn't pick up. But we got together. If you built a little cluster, and yeah, we do that. We build a little cluster and listen to each other. It's real easy to do that in a cluster. We kind of get in, we listen to the people that agree with us and kind of share information. And you may even do our online community. We have our online community. And sometimes it's intentional. We build a little, you know, cohort of information sources. And that's all we look to. But sometimes it happens accidentally. I hope there is. You know, whatever you tend to do, it's just going to keep sending you into the same little circuit of information that the algorithm decided and reinforced. But the point is, we can't actually keep track too fast if we only listen to ourselves. And Paul would say this is deadly to us, and it's deadly to the people who listen to it. Jesus said it real well as the Pharisees and the scribes kind of questioned around him and questioned back in John chapter 5. You can look it up in the first one. He said, how can you believe that it's crazy? He said, how are you going to look at me, Jesus said, and believe these things? If you get money from each other. So don't get your, don't boast about comparison. But also, the other one is don't exaggerate your importance. That's the one he said, Paul, verse 13. But we will not boast beyond limit, but we'll boast only with regard to the area of influence God has assigned to us. Then verse 15. We do not boast beyond the limit. Related to that. This section, by the way, that section at verse 13 through 16 can be kind of hard to understand. There's a lot of this language issues, you know, what this word means. But the issue, just to simplify, the issue is over authority. Who has authority? And Paul points out that God had sent him into the territory where he was. In this case, he says, I'm not out of bounds. These outside settlers had come in from somewhere else, probably Jerusalem area, but they'd come from somewhere else, and they had moved kind of across the boundary into the area that God had given Paul. So Paul says, listen, I'm not out of bounds. There's some people out of bounds. I'm geographically where I'm supposed to be. But he then takes that concrete, literal meaning of out of bounds, and he applies it more generally, more figuratively, And he says, we're not going to boast beyond the limits in the labors of others. We're not going to take credit for what somebody else is doing. We're not going to, we know who we are, we know what God's given us, and we don't have to take credit for others. In our day, back to the thing earlier, we don't have a caution, and so we don't have any apostolic assignment. This is my territory. God hasn't done that, and we don't know where that is. But there is a, so that physical limit thing is hard for us to find. Don't come in my church. But there is a principle here for us. And the principle is, don't think we're the only one. But we need to be careful not to exaggerate our church. That we are we're the only ones whose work really matters. The rivals in Corinth were taking credit for work that Paul had done. They were presenting themselves as superior to Paul. He was mealy mouthed, his message wasn't. In fact, the implication is you probably didn't. We can't feel like clearer than Paul. So let us kind of straighten out. Let us improve on what Paul has done. And then they would claim to the truth. They would say, we're the ones. Our ministry is superior. In fact, he said, we're kind of making up for Paul's anemic attempts at giving the gospel, and now you don't want to do it. We're always taken by faith. We tend to think that we're the only ones who've gotten it right. I had a friend, a repentant friend, at the time he was an older pastor. He must have been about 5 years younger than I am now. And he had come into a church that I was familiar with, and he had said to some people in the church that the former pastor, he was having a good time. I don't understand that. And so he called the former pastor up to get another picture. And so I just want you to know I've been concerned about this. And it's true. I've been criticizing the ministry and saying that I've done things. And the other gracious, very gracious pastor, I make up for his name, he said, Roger. You know, it's not just a speaker, it can be a speaker. It can be a speaker, it can be a speaker. Larry Crabb, now the late and soul glorified Larry Crabb, was from his major. He wrote somewhere that pastors and pastors worship influence. And I would say hold the nomination to you. Influence, you're the one. Insight, you got it right. Paul says, don't live by comparison and don't exaggerate your importance. But there is a base. There is an ultimate base. Look at verse 17. Paul says, okay, I got one for you, he says. Not the one who boasts in the Lord. But not the one that commends himself, he is true, but one whom the Lord commends. It's important to know you've got the text in front of you. I think it's going to be this way too. Let the one who boasts in the Lord is in quotation marks. You see that? Paul is quoting the prophet Jeremiah. And I'm going to read you the rest of what Jeremiah said in that text. I've got it printed here on my phone, but I like to let you know I get it out loud. It also gives you time to take up if you want to look at Jeremiah 9 and 24. Let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord. And then he gives this the Lord, who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight. There's some things worth boasting about. There's some things worth glorying in and talking about wherever you go and whatever you do. Remember the 72 Jesus sent the 72 out with gospel and the power, and they came back and said, man, you can't believe it. Yeah, just kill him. You kill him. In your name, that's that thing. All this healing is right in Jesus' name. Do not rejoice in this. The Spirit is said to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. So Paul is saying this. Boast in this is the one who is the very fountain of steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in this world. That's what it means. And having everything in you, he delights in you. That's who you are. And with that, with the covering of Christ, his steadfast, his life, you can go out into the earth and boast in him that other things can come across. Daddy, do that, would you? Take my breath away. You delight. You delight out of your steadfast love and your justice and your life. To delight in that. We marvel at it, we thank you. Use it. And use other churches, others who know you through this word of yours, and by your Spirit through Christ. Would you do that? So we come thankful, but we come hungry. We come to be patient.